Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Dave Erfle, founder and publisher of The Junior Miner Junkie. And we will put a link to thejuniorminerjunkie.com down below this so you can follow along with Dave's work. And Dave, love to get your thoughts here as we are kicking off the week on the good foot with gold and silver and the precious metals mining stocks. It's been a roller coaster, admittedly, over the last 6 months in the space, but in general, the trend has been ratcheting higher ever since the fourth quarter of last year. We saw gold and silver and the mining stocks push off from the gate pretty good in the beginning of 2023 in January. Really ugly February, which got everybody starting to think that, uh-oh, maybe that was it. But then in March, starting with the banking and then moving towards the expectations about the Fed and other central banks getting near the end of the line on their tightening cycle, gold has continued to get a solid bid. And silver and the mining stocks are also playing ball. So what's your takeaway right now as far as where gold is, as far as the price action, and what are you watching?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Chad. You know, we've been waiting for this $2,000 level to be broken above, and so many speculators, especially in the sector, have given up of that ever happening. But, you know, along comes a banking crisis, and everybody's ears get perked up again. But the gold price is really doing something that I'm glad it's doing. You know, it got to that 2000 area, it got overbought, and we had some excitement come in. And so it's working off that overboughtness now with an ascending symmetrical triangle on the daily chart, which is good because it's working off an overbought situation by creating a bullish pattern. You know, when you have a symmetrical triangle on an ascending move, you know, we usually get a breakout into the upside. And this triangle is consolidating, I think, into the next PCE inflation report, which is Friday. You know, that's when we're going to find out. The PCE report is the Fed's preferred method for gauging inflation. And when the Fed last week raised rates on one hand, and then on the other hand, provided all this liquidity to banks, the gold price perked up and started moving towards that 2000 level, and it's bumping up against there. And what's interesting is it's happening while silver and the miners are leading it up there. That's a very good sign because the last time we had gold bumping up against 2000 was at this time last year. And the reasons it was happening last year at this time was because of the war in Ukraine. So it was going up on geopolitical concerns, which you never want to see, because that move usually gets taken down. And that's exactly what happened. We had the gold price going up to $2,000 with a rising U.S. dollar, and the silver price was not participating. It was going down because of the rising U.S. dollar and people going into risk-off mode. So now when you have the miners and you have the silver leading and you have the gold price consolidating in this bullish consolidation triangle, and also you have a commitment of traders report that is much favorable than the last time gold was rising to 2000 last year at this time, because this time, as far as the commitment of traders report is concerned, you've got 107,000 long contracts by the small specs, which is 40% lower than last year at this time, when, you know, the short side, you know, commercial shorts were loaded up ready to fleece the speculators. And that's exactly what happened. Well, this time, you know, there's a lot more room for speculators to pile in. It's not frothy. This is basically what I'm trying to say. And also, you know, you're not seeing a lot of headlines about the gold price about to break out to record levels. You're seeing more headlines on Bitcoin getting some love on this move because of what's happening in the financial market. So it's really interesting how this is all coming into the end of the month, end of the quarter, because, you know, I've been saying for quite a while now, we need a monthly quarterly close above that 2000 level to finally get, you know, some generalist investor funds, some hedge funds in, some big money in, some generalist investor money in. And that's what I'm waiting to see if that happens on Friday.
Yeah, Dave, that's where I was going to go next, is looking at the end of the month, end of the quarter. Gold loves to take people to the edge as far as these things go.
Yes, it does. And then yank the rug out from under.
Yep. And that's what I'm worried about, that the rug is going to get yanked in the next couple of days when that PCE data comes out or something happens. But right now, you know, as of the time of this recording, gold has a really good chance of breaking above that 1953 highest quarterly close. It's at 1976 at the time of this recording, but there's also that 1985 level, which is the highest monthly close. Let's just say that gold can't pierce 2000, but it still closes above those. How do you think things shake out moving forward? Or on the downside, if we fail to get above that 1953, but we're still having a pretty solid month, what's your outlook for how things will develop in the medium term?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, basically, if you want to take a step back and look at the chart here on a long-term basis, gold will not technically break out until we see a monthly close above 2100. That's when gold technically breaks out. So if we see the miners continue to lag and silver's not able to get above $25 when gold gets that monthly quarterly close above 2000, that would be a concern. So we really have to see how if the miners and silver continue to show relative strength to gold while this is happening. And of course, you know, the juniors are still pretty much being ignored.
Yeah, it's interesting that the sector is being ignored when it's doing so well overall, as far as the metals price action, at least, because even silver in the mid 20s is not a terrible price for a lot of producers, although there has been inflation and that's crimped the margins. If you can't make money at $23 silver or 1970 gold, then there's a problem with you as a producer. These are prices that should be able to allow these companies to have at least some margins and keep growing, and it should incentivize some of the better projects to come online. But there's still a lot of trepidation out there, Dave. In general, the banking concerns have some people worried. Some people are still worried that the Fed may throw a wild card at people and keep hiking in the face of maybe an oncoming recession or an oncoming freight train here. What's your take on how things wrapped up last week? We didn't really get your takeaway from Powell's meeting, the way he left things, versus how the market is looking at it. The market's pricing in a couple of rate cuts by the end of the year, maybe starting as soon as summer. And the Powell's message and the Fed's message has been, no, we may keep hiking for longer. What's your takeaway from the tug of war going on between the Fed and the market?
Yeah, it's really interesting how this is playing out, because gold is obviously sniffing out the Fed being between a rock and a hard place coming to the end of the road here. And when you're basically printing money and bailing out all these banks on one hand and then raising rates on the other, it sends a mixed signal to the market. You know, and it brings up, and you've got more and more uncertainty about people's money and banks. You know, at first, I know the Fed was considering not covering anything over $250,000 per client. And if that got out and if they actually did that, I mean, the whole thing would implode. They need to cover everybody. And they basically came out and said that. So if you're covering everybody, you know, basically, you know, you've got money market uninsured deposits. There's like 10.5 trillion of uninsured deposits in the U.S. versus like 7.5 trillion of insured deposits. So the big question the market, you know, is saying, you know, is basically, where's the Fed and these other central banks going to get the money to bail out everyone? FDIC can't cover everyone. So the market, the gold price is sniffing out, hey, you know, we're going to see a lot more bailouts. You know, this isn't over. Even the Wall Street Journal came out and said there's 186 banks that look like they're even in worse shape than Silicon Valley Bank. You know, Deutsche Bank looks like it might be the next big domino to fall, and that's the German economy. So, you know, this is not over. And, you know, you've got the FDIC heads right now speaking on Capitol Hill, basically, you know, blaming it on the banks being their fault for not being good risk managers. So it's really interesting how this is all going to play out. And then over the weekend, you had Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari on CBS on Sunday say that the banking turmoil brings us closer to a recession and that it's unclear for us to know how much these banking stresses are leading to a widespread credit crunch. So, you know, gold is sniffing all this out, obviously, and it's really going to be interesting how this month and quarter closes. And if you take a look at the gold stocks, if you take a look at the GDX and the GDXJ, they are now sporting cup and handle patterns. And you've got the gold price with a huge 12-year cup and handle pattern. And then you've got a weekly cup and handle pattern inside the handle. So there's all these cup and handle patterns. There's these ascending symmetrical triangles in a lot of these gold stocks that I own and that I follow. You know, you had a strong move up and then the symmetrical triangle started to form on lower volume. So you see large volume moves and then lower volume consolidation. You know, all this leads to a breakout at some point, I believe. And when we do have the breakout, you know, once we have the breakout, if we see big risk off coming into the marketplace and we see some panic selling coming in to equities, you know, we could see the same thing happen in gold stocks and they start to sell off a little bit again. But I still firmly believe that we have seen the major bottom in September of last year. And we're just basically we're producing an accumulative bottom right now before the next up leg. And that next up leg is not going to happen in gold stocks until we have the marketplace believing there's that solid floor at $2,000 as opposed to, 12, 13 year ceiling at $2,000.
Yeah, Dave, it's interesting because most of the generalists are still not paying attention at all to the space. As you mentioned earlier, they're more excited about Bitcoin breaking out on the banking implosion than they are gold breaking up close to new highs. And there's still not a lot of love in the junior mining stocks, all things considered, for where the pricing is today. But you mentioned that once there's that 2000 floor, you know, there'll be a perception change for the market and they'll start going, wow, you know, gold has really gone above 2000 and held it. So that'll be key. But do you think that there's the potential that more generalists will come into the space just because comparatively the gold and silver space, even look at last year or look at this year, is doing a lot better than their general equities? And I have to imagine a lot of them don't have a lot of exposure. Could this be something similar like we saw last year where a lot of these financial institutions and investors realize they don't have any exposure to oil or nat gas? Could that same thing happen, that same phenomenon with precious metals? And is that maybe where all this new buying will come from to blast things up higher?
Yes. I mean, that's where the monthly and quarterly close comes in. You know, I mean, let's put our fund manager hats on just for a minute here. And you're a fund manager, you know, and you've got all these losses, you're seeing everything, all these sectors going lower. And if you start to take a look at safe havens, you take a look at gold, you take a look at gold stocks. And if you take a look at the gold price outperforming everything right now that we discussed last week, you know, it's outperforming stocks, it's outperforming bonds, it's outperforming oil, it's outperforming commodities. And most importantly, it's outperforming bank stocks. Well, what is an outperforming bank stock? But if I'm a fund manager and I'm looking at that, I got to have exposure to the gold space. And with A, so little exposure to the gold space now, and B, it being so tiny, it doesn't take much for the sector to really take off. I mean, institutional investment portfolios in total have a very small percentage of assets allocated to precious metals, and most have none, at less than 1%. So if you just factor in like a 2 or 3% allocation of their assets into this tiny, tiny sector, this would ignite the sector. And it, you know, once you have a sector that's being ignited, you know, in a marketplace where most everything else is going down, you know, I mean, the sector that has been ignored by the generalists for the past decade, you know, it's set to possibly explode here. So, you know, but you just have to continue to have a lot of patience and wait for, you know, the catalyst to provide this spark. And, you know, we've got a catalyst now, and it's the right catalyst. You know, the last time we had $2,000 gold, like I said, last year, it wasn't the right catalyst. It was going to $2,000 based on geopolitical concerns. Well, now it's threatening to break out above 2,000, 2,100 on financial concerns. And that's what you want to see.
Yeah, that's a lot safer environment for a sustained move higher. And it's really the reason why people hold precious metals is a hedge against financial uncertainty and a lack of confidence in the financial system. So that kind of an environment is a lot more stable than a geopolitical guns firing overseas. This is something that actually could get some traction, not just for the short term, but maybe longer term with some of these generalist investors. And the hardest thing to do as an investor is to have patience. A lot of times people sabotage themselves and exit the party right before it gets started. So hopefully people will hang through this period of waiting to see the breakout happen and will be happy that they were positioned correctly when it does happen. Dave, it's always great getting you on the show just to get your thoughts on the precious metals markets and on the markets in general. And if you like getting Dave's thoughts, definitely click on the link below. Check out the Junior Miner Junkie. And until next week, Dave, good trading to you.
You too, Shad. Thanks a lot. Always great to talk to you.